What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
All right, folks, welcome back to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. This is a very special episode, but let's get started with the basics. As always, I am your boy, Jay Flan, and right next to me is my homie, Rich Nerd.
What it do?
And we are the White Pants Society. I don't know if you can tell from the noise, but we are out and about today.
We out here.
We out here in Texas. We are tailgating at the UT Kansas State.
Yeah, Kansas City.
UT Kansas State game. Invited here by the homie Roderick Walker, Sir Rod.
Who's up?
Shout out to
Rod walking around somewhere. I don't know where he at right now, but he here.
Yeah, Rich is walking. We testing out a new mixer today. We testing out wireless mics. I'm not monitoring this shit. This is crazy.
Big things.
It's too loud out here, man. I don't know if you said big titties or what did you say?
Things.
Big things. Okay. Man, yeah, this is crazy. We out here. There's a lot of nonstop craziness going on, but we've been openly embraced. This is pretty damn dope. So, fuck it. I guess we're going to do our thing. It's going to be a lot of editing in this episode. We're going to talk. We got the wireless mics. We're moving around the crowd. We got UT, former UT players out here. Who knows who else might stop in.
Yeah, hopefully. This mic is still live too, right?
I'm going to turn that one back on.
Hopefully we get somebody over here. Talk to us really quick. Somebody just walk up, drop a line. I'm going to see if we can get Rod over here. Say something real quick for the people. I don't know where Jernigan at right now, but
I can't
everybody
do that.
Out here. Everybody having fun.
All right, so we're picking up the crowd noise now. Dude, it's hot as shit out here is what I want to say first.
Man.
It's hot. And a motherfucker out here. It's not even hot. It's just super humid.
Super humid. We standing right by the motherfucking forest preserve.
Are we in the jungle? All
like crazy. Like, it is, it's retarded out here, but it's all love.
You know, the first thing I'm noticing, now that I work for Home Depot, I swear it's the same color orange.
It is.
Same color orange.
I don't know if you noticed, but it's a few different color oranges. So I don't know if UT got a license on everything in a dark spectrum, but I mean.
Yeah, I had to find like a darker, almost redder orange, what it said. I don't know. Let's just take care of the bills. As usual, ttcharities.org. Please check out the website. Donate what you can. Time, money, clothes, books, whatever it is they need at the time. Even a repost or a retweet goes a long way. Also, bringing us cakeys. If you don't know what a cakey is, it is something the size and shape of a cookie, but the texture of a cake. They have icing. They come in a lot of different flavors. Super dope. Check them out. Rina's Cakeys. R-A-R-I-N-A-S dot. And I'm fucking it all up. R-I-N-A-S Cakeys.
I know how to spell Cakeys, damn it.
Yeah, we all know how to spell Cakeys. And last but not least, the big homie Alex. CelebrityHairCorp.com. Get all of your natural hair extensions taken care of with the added bonus of no tax, free shipping. I said last but not least, but then we got RG Mode.
RG Mode.
I'm going to go ahead and let Rich say, you know the details on the RG Mode. He had the whole script the last episode.
And I had a script in front of me then. I don't got a script in front of me now. But RG Mode, basically that's a Chicago-born, New York-raised, Texas-living right now, interior designer, stylist, all-around DIY guru, anything you want to know about anything, beauty, makeup, hair support, she got it. Check out rgmode.com or YouTube.com/C/RGMode.
All right, but let's start with this. We watched this happen, like, firsthand. This is the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. People, if a dude looked like he couldn't afford one ticket, but he's trying to sell you six and parking passes.
They got crackheads out here selling tickets to the
game. And these dudes is coming up. Like, these dudes is making... We saw this man make at least 6-7 sales.
Yeah.
First of all, iPhone 8.
This man looked like a crackhead. He's selling tickets and parking passes.
And parking
he had
passes.
A, he had a conk. He had the old school handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
And a brand new iPhone 8 Plus. What am I doing wrong?
I'm just saying. Like, that don't make you question it. If niggas is on the corner with, like, 17 tickets to a game plus parking pass, and how did you come up on these tickets, my man?
Something shady. Something shady going on.
How come you could get my whole family in the game? Like, it don't look like you could get my whole family Wendy's, but you could get me in this football game.
Then it's like, does he prepay for them? Like, does he pay, like, a bulk amount? Like, all right, yo, take this 500 and just give me a stat. And I'm going to flip it and see what I can do. Like, how does it work?
I don't know how it works. We might be in the wrong hustle. I saw my man do major business today.
I just don't know if I can do business with a man with a conk selling tickets on the corner.
Like, how does that happen? Like, in what person's mind in 2017 do you wake up and be like, this conk is killing me. This conk is about to fuck them up for real. They're not ready.
Conking it.
Ready for this conk.
Conking
it. Man, you got a lot going on out here, Rob.
Man, we've been running this one, man, for over 13 years.
That would be cool, though.
And,
no, it would fucking not.
You just throw it on the other side of the wall, man. And there's a lot of history down here, man. I'm just trying to win, man, and help everybody else, man.
Hey, we definitely appreciate you inviting us out for this. And as a representative of the DMV, I apologize for what Maryland did to y'all earlier this season. That wasn't called for.
I was going to give y'all 2 free tickets to the game, but since you brought up that unnecessary-ass statement, I'm going to put them back in my pocket and be like a magician and disappear.
We're excited to be. All right, so I got to ask you, and you're no pressure to comment if you don't have a comment. But
just about the Texas Longhorns, I always have a comment.
Now, I'm not going to ask you about the Texas Longhorns. I was going to ask you about Cam and what you thought about that.
Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Here's my thought on Cam Newton. Here's my thought on the media on how they built up the situation. Here's my thought on political correctness. Cam Newton, if you watch the interview, kind of wiggly, move his body in this little wormly fashion, saying, it's so funny how, you know, to me when I hear female reporters talk about routes. We understand that because it's a male-driven sport. Everyone should understand that. Him as a young quarterback and having a lady talk about routes so prolific as she did, then it's cute for us as men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost as if it was flirting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, it's cute how when I hear a girl talking about routes, if he was out on a date, he would have said the same exact thing.
Yeah, you find a girl who likes football, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, you hear a girl talking about how she likes sports and she can talk about when he did the 5-yard in or when he did the 20-yard comeback to a guy, that turns us on to hear us a lady say that. Yeah. And as a young guy, as a young quarterback, to hear that, of course we're going to react to it and say the first thing that comes out of my mouth. It shouldn't have been as, oh, you're belittling women or ladies in sports. I think they overblown. It was overblown. And I fought political correctness and women standing up for, I don't fault women. Let's get that correct. I fought people who are thinking that this young man who happens to be black is deciding to degrade this white reporter. I know that's not the issue, it wasn't the case, and he had to apologize for it. Then you get the process of people saying, well, what's taking them so long to apologize? What's taking them so long to apologize? Come on, man. It's the microwave society. Everybody wants something to happen instantly and fast. What's taking so long for the president to react? Why is he coming in by now? Because we want to get things straight.
Right.
Because the last time I just ran off the top of my head,
exactly.
I got in trouble for it.
Exactly.
So let me take my time and do this thing right. I think it was just a little something that was overblown.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned him being a little wiggly, and then like the way he said it and even the way he was laughing. I don't know what it's like, what happens after a football game, but it seemed to me like he might not have been 100% in the right state of mind. Like, I don't know if maybe he was on a pain med or something, but I never seen him. He's normally pretty composed at the podium, and he was
I
a little off.
That. Yeah, yeah. Kind of reminds you of, I forgot the actress or supermodel, that Nicole.
Okay.
Remember when she got up on the podium that time and gave the award and said she did something, and everybody's like, maybe she was on drugs or something. I don't know if you remember that award show that she did. But kind of like that, man. I don't think that he was on any drugs or anything like that. I think it was just a euphoric moment at the time, and the kid was in it. That's what I think. I didn't see the rest of the interview or anything that happened before the interview, but that moment that was aired publicly over and over, that's the only thing I saw.
Yeah, so it could have been taken out of context.
It could have been.
They chopped up that little bit.
Had anyone said anything like that? If they said anything, like maybe he was on drugs or...
No, that was just me, because I've seen, you know, he comes out normally pretty dapper.
He's dressed
to the nines, got a feather in his hat.
That's right.
And this was a different Cam. This was,
I'm pretty sure a lot of other people are thinking that.
I agree totally. That was a different Cam. Yeah. And that was, I said it just now, that was the thing that caught my eye. He was just like a little worm, a little wiggly, as you know, but I don't know. I can't speculate. I don't know. You know, if he was on anything or any pain meds.
I'm not even sure that was Cam Newton.
Yeah, I don't even know if he was playing for them anymore. Nah, Killer Cam, man, I always been a stand-up, man, A1, man. I love the dude. Like I said, I think the situation was overblown. And
he takes too much heat for little stuff like this.
And he did a great apology.
With all the stuff that Cam does, like, it seems like they be looking for him to make a mistake so they can kill him. They get him for dabbing, but they don't talk about all the charities and all the stuff he gives to the kids. And, you know.
Well, you think about this. Any black person, I don't really like to take it there, but that's what happens. When you're out there epitome or about to rise to that level, they look for what spectacle, what tiny piece of dirt can I have to make this guy's career take a tumble in some shape, form, or fashion. I almost sent a tweet to Kevin Hart before his situation even happened. Tell him, hey man, know how they is. Watch your back.
It's coming.
You know what I'm saying? Hey. You the king right now. Watch your back. I wanted to send it to him. But in sports, you know, especially in the NFL, you're a public figure, you're out there every day or every week. You know, it's not like you're an entertainer. You're not Will Smith who pops in and pops out when you want to. You're there every week. You got to get in front of this microphone every week, every day. Because you're the face. You're the face of the NFL.
I'm glad you guys came out.
We got you over here, Mike, so it's your turn.
Oh, man, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about, let's talk about Shannon Sharpe.
Man, I love the dude.
You love Shannon Sharpe.
I hated him when he played, but I love him now. I mean, he is my brother.
I think he's an awesome representative for us right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shame sometimes that, like, our biggest and best representatives got to be, like, comedians and athletes and shit.
Right.
Like, our politicians. But we got Maxine Waters. That's my lady.
I like Maxine as well. I do.
But it seems like sometimes our biggest and best, our brightest got to be, you know, ex-athletes and stuff like that.
Well, you know, I'm liking Shannon because he's keeping it real. He's keeping it really real.
But did he keep it too real?
No. Obviously, you haven't seen my Facebook post. You know, I'm going to say it. You can bleep it out later. My nigga. That was... Denzel said it. Come on now. Can I?
He had an Oscar for that film.
You know, I was like,
I'm
no.
Sorry, y'all. I'm eating chicken right now.
Was it grape? You know, was it a grape? Like,
was that a Black and Mild or was that a Sweet Sweet?
Yeah. Well, it was a Black and Mild. I was waiting for him to pull out a razor blade. I was like, man, okay, Shannon. I got a whole new respect for you. You're on a whole nother level with me, man. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, and I think you already know, I have a, I guess some people would describe it as a militant mentality, but I really don't think that I'm militant.
But you know what? You know, I had to understand, because my mother, and I've called my mother on this very podcast the biggest racist I know. I said it, and my mother got, we had words. Shit is cool now.
Okay.
Cool now.
That's good.
But I had to understand where my mother was coming from. And she had to tell me stories. And this is my mom. This is only one generation removed.
Right.
But she grew
okay,
up,
here's the thing. When you throw a rock brick window, do they not address that issue right then and there, maybe with a butt whipping or whatever. But okay, we're talking about, here's a shooting. 58 people were killed, over 500 injured, and the White House comes out and say, oh, this is not the time to talk about it. This is the paramount to you breaking a window and your parents saying, well, you know, we're not going to talk about it right now. Well, hell, I'd love that, you know, personally. But
like I was saying, like, I had to understand, because my mom used to, I remember I worked for this this company out in Bethesda, Maryland. I remember calling her one night and saying, hey, mama, I got to work late. My boss wants me to stay. He's like, what ethnicity is your boss? I'm like, he's Filipino. Oh, you got to watch the Filipinos. They work here
today. But you do.
But I had to learn, you know, my mom was very, like, leery of white people. And, you know, and she would say things like, I just prefer to be around my own. Like, I don't dislike them. I just prefer to be around my own. And I had to learn, like, where that mentality comes from. She would tell me stories about how, because my family's from South Carolina.
Okay.
But my mother grew up in D.C. And they would go back home, you know, to visit family. It's like, that would be the time that her mother would fry chicken. That would be the time her mother didn't buy Ritz crackers. Right. Any other time, but she would buy Ritz crackers when they had to travel. And it was because she didn't want the kids asking to stop, because they couldn't.
Right.
So to realize that my mother, just one generation removed, lived in a time where they couldn't even stop to get food on the drive between D.C. and South Carolina because of the racial climate, and I have to understand why she feels the way she do about certain things.
I love your mother. First of all, I'm just gonna say this like this. My mom had two PhDs. She had one from Howard University in Washington, and she also had one from SMU.
Okay.
Now, she's a high school principal. My mom is from East Texas, Rust, Texas, to be specific. There's a town outside of Rust, Texas called White House. And she used to tell us stories. She's like, baby, don't get caught in White House after dark. This is my mom, you know, a very educated woman. But, you know, so I took what she said seriously. 1981, I'm driving to Rust, Texas. You know, that's where we go for our family reunions and that sort of thing. I had like a half a tank of gas. My brother was with me. And I just decided, what the hell? It was getting dark. And I was like, well, what the hell? I'm going to stop in White House, Texas and get some gas. There's an Exxon filling station right off the highway, Highway 69. And so I wasn't even really thinking about what she said. None of this had even occurred to me. I go to this filling station. I go use the restroom, grab a couple of Snickers bars, grab some sodas, you know, about to get back. And I'm like, while I'm here, I'm going to top off my tank. I put all my stuff on the counter, and I was like, hey, give me $10, because the gas wasn't that high at that time. Give me $10 on pump number 6. Dude say, I ain't got no gas. I wasn't even paying attention. I was completely oblivious. This is a true story, man. And I was completely oblivious to it. I didn't even hear it. You know, I just set the money on the counter, and I'm about to walk out the door. He says, I ain't got no gas. And I turned around, and now I'm hearing him. I'm like, and I look outside, people are pumping gas. I'm like, what do you mean you ain't got no gas? We ain't got no gas for you. So, being the person that I am, because I don't give a fuck.
So you never gave a fuck is what you tried.
Right. Okay. So I snatched my money off the counter and said, fuck you then. And I walked out, and I got on in the car and drove on down to Russ. I didn't even tell about the story because I already know. I done told you. I done already told you. You know. So, and you know, that's when I knew everything that she was telling me was from an experience. And now I have experienced some of the things not even on her level. And that just pissed me off. And I've been I won't say that was the thing, the defining moment that I changed in how I feel about people. But It's one of them.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. Because I feel like I'm in this bridge the gap situation. One, most of the major opportunities I've been given in my life so far, I've been given by a white person.
Okay.
You know, most of the jobs or somebody taking a chance on me when I was applying for something that I really didn't qualify for, but I went in and showed my aptitude. It just so happened that the person that was available to give that opportunity was a white person. So it was very hard for me when my mama was telling me this stuff to have some sort of disdain, you know, toward these folks, because these were the same folks that I was depending on almost, you know, for my livelihood and for my lifestyle. And then I moved to a place like this, and I'm here, you know, and I'm seeing that it could be different. Like, it could be, it can be different.
Austin's weird. Austin's weird. I mean, it's a beautiful weird. It's a great weird. But I submit to you that the reason that that happened is because
Rachel.
How's it going? Hang on, I got this.
All right, Rachel. So can I ask you about Cam Newton?
You can ask me about anything.
So Cam Newton was talking to that female reporter. She was asking him about routes, and he said it was funny hearing a female talk about routes. How did you know?
So wait, what is funny?
He thought it was funny hearing a female reporter ask him a question about, like, routes in football.
About rights?
Routes. Routes. Like, receivers running routes.
Oh, just about, like...
Like, just a real football question.
I don't give a fuck about you.
That's my song right there. That's
a good answer. I don't give a fuck about you.
It's our podcast. It's called the White Pants Society.
Yeah, now, it's been dope.
My people's right here, man.
Little play on words.
Now, man, my man right here.
The next thing that we want to do is the next time he throws a party. Okay. We want to go out there, but we want to film this. We want to film this.
My next one's going to be Halloween weekend on the 29th. It's called Hipsters and Hooligans.
You didn't say that in the microphone, baby.
Yeah, let's get that. Hey,
oh, yeah,
put my
phone
right
now. Are we on?
Yeah, we on.
Oh. Okay, shout out to the White Fan Society, man. My name is JCTV. We're here in Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas, Tailgate 18 the Trinity. What I do is, you know, I have a platform for artists and entertainment. Promotion and visuals and marketing is everything, and that's what I specialize in. There's not a main media outlet here in Austin, Texas. There are multiple in LA, Atlanta, New York, Chicago, you know, the main cities. But we live in a live music city capital world, and there's not that here. So that's what JCTV is, and you can find what we do at on Instagram at JCTV World. JC is spelled JACEY TV World. And my Snapchat is JCDavid1. We people make memories. Shout out White Pants for, you know, allowing me to plug my stuff here. Oh, and our next show. The next show we got coming up is the 29th. The 29th of October. It's a Sunday Funday from 6 to 10 at Lit Lounge, 215 East 6th Street. We're going to have some hip-hop. We have some comedy, some rock, some acoustic, some a plethora of entertainment. And that's what you're going to get. We go to a JCTV show again. Shout out White Pants for allowing me to do this. We out, man. JCTV. You.
All right, so we got Billy Journey. Go ahead. I mean, how do you want to be
just Billy.
To?
Billy? Just Billy.
Billy. All right, so I think the question I've been asking everybody, the first question is the Cam Newton situation. How do you feel about the comments that Cam made and the aftermath that's come from what he said?
I think it was unnecessary. I don't know why he volunteered that information, being in the social status that he's in. You know, he should have known that there would be some level of backlash. So I'm a little surprised at that. I'm not really surprised that he got that Dannon contract pull. I don't know what other fallouts come of it. I don't know if he got fined or whatever, but, you know, I just think he was, you know, being in the situation that he's in, he should have been more aware of it. It was just a completely, I think he might have been looking to be complimentary in a sense of, you know, her level of intelligence in knowing the game and just, you know, even expressing his surprise and even delight, if you will, you know, because I think when I looked at it, I I kind of took it as, you know, he was giving her a compliment in a sense. You know, again, I think delight is probably the better word that I'd use, but he should have been more aware of his social status and the climate.
I was just about to say that. I think in this social climate, we can't just say things like that off the cuff. And he may have had good intentions, but anything can be misconstrued nowadays.
This is the thing I keep coming back to, because I've seen Cam in front of the camera a lot. And normally he comes
he's
out.
He's never done that. He's
normally,
never.
Yeah, normally he comes out. He's way more composed. He's
dapper
dressed.
Done.
Yeah, he's dapper down. Like, he just didn't seem to be himself at that time. Even the way he was laughing.
Like, maybe that is himself, though.
To me, I wonder if he was on. He took some hits that game. They maybe shot him up. They gave him a couple shots before he came outside. Like, it just didn't seem like Cam.
But to Billy's point, like you just said, maybe that was him. Maybe he's tired of the facade, and he's just like, you know what? I'm going to go out like I want to go out.
Yeah, maybe that was unpolished Cam. Well, and what we get most of the time is the polished Cam. I don't know, but it was avoidable.
May I interject that? Come on, let's look at the president. He said way more inflammatory things, and why, you know, I thought it was overblown. I don't care what women think about, you know, because I had a discussion about this on Facebook, and, you know, it's like, you don't understand, he's degraded women. No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. Have you actually run a route? Have you ever actually been on a NFL football route or a route, period? You know, he's actually just expressing an opinion, just like our president expresses his opinions. And now you're trying to hold him to a higher standard? Come on, man. That's not right. I don't like yoga, no way.
Hey, Danny makes good shit, man. Anyway.
That Oikos is good, man. I ain't gonna lie. That Oikos is legit.
I don't like it. It's protein, my opinion.
If it has a protein punch. Danny, if y'all need a spot, if y'all need a nude nigga, I'm right here. I won't say shit about women. Anyway, I'm gonna curse a lot, but I ain't gonna say shit about women.
I can respect that.
I'm getting in all kinds of trouble right now. All right, so, but the other thing, okay, and I asked Mike about this, Shannon Sharp. Now, I like Shannon. I disagree with some of the stuff he had to say about the kneeling, just because I don't want us to get into a us versus us conversation about the kneeling. I don't want it to be, he knelt on two knees, you said you would never kneel, and you a hypocrite. I don't want us to get to battling ourselves on a kneeling. I thought Shannon did a little bit of that on a kneeling. So I disagree with him there. But other than that, I think, you know, amazingly, Shannon Sharp is like one of the better representatives of black culture that we got right now. And he uses his form every chance he gets to push the message forward. Now, I don't feel the way you felt about the Miles and Hen Dog. I'm on the Miles and Hen Dog. I don't know where that came from. I don't know why he had to be on the Miles and Hen Dog.
He took it, to answer your question, he took it a little further than I thought he might. But at the same time, Shannon Sharp is the Jesse Jackson. Wait a minute. This is not funny. But Shannon Sharp is the Jesse Jackson of the 2010 era. To me, because he actually says and believes what he says, and I can dig that, man. I really can. I mean, I really feel Shannon Sharp. I've never felt him as a player, but I do feel him as an analyst, as a person that is now pushing. I ain't going to say he's pushing because I don't want to get me in no trouble. But he is a person that I respect when it comes to the black agenda.
Yeah, I respect the hell out of Shannon Sharp. I wasn't proud of that moment. I didn't feel like it was a necessary moment. Why we got to be on the Miles and Hendon?
Well, I like the
vibe. You might as well hit that. You might as well tap dance for him while he's up there, dog. We don't need that.
There
was
a
time in my life where I was on the Miles and Hendon, but I'm just there.
In a sense, yes, you are right. You are right. I agree with you to a certain degree. I don't think that he was showing out. I think that he was just showing up, if that makes any sense.
I mean, there's a part of me that is like, why does that part of our culture embarrass me? And then there's a part of me that's just like, if that was us talking, but that's me and you talking, we can have that conversation. That's cool. But that's him and Skip Bayless, like the whitest motherfucker on planet Earth.
I'm glad you brought that up. Why do we freaking care what they think? Why do we care? I mean, it's like, you're supposed to care about how you protest us. No, that's not even what a protest is about.
And that's what I was trying to say. Like a protest is supposed to upset you.
Yes.
If a protest don't upset you,
it ain't a protest. It ain't a protest.
We fucking up somehow.
Yes. So, I'm thinking, you know, it's like everything has been so convoluted with the kneeling. Oh, you know, white people want to say it's about the flag. White people want to say it's about the military. You're fucking liars. You fucking liars. You know what it's about.
I don't think it's fair to label it as white people want to say that. It's Republicans. It's that particular party. It's not white people. So I think we should, you know, kind of re-engineer that.
Who's in that party, man?
Well, it's black people in that party, too. I mean, Herman Cain's in that party, ain't he?
That nigga ain't black.
Warren Conley's in that party, ain't he?
I
understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying, you know, let's attribute it properly instead of labeling it as white people as a whole.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree because I believe it is a white versus black thing.
We know you militant as a motherfucker, so we know that. You know that.
I mean, that's what it is.
Back to the Miles and Hendo. Right. How did you feel about him?
I wouldn't have said that.
No, I know you would. I'm talking to Billy right now.
Okay.
I missed that, man. I don't know.
So it was after a win. Somebody predicted would win one. And so he has a show called Undisputed.
With Skip Bayless. Right,
yeah.
After the win, he came on the show and he unwrapped the Black and Mild on it. Like that was a real fresh in the pack. Was that a single or did he buy the pack? That looked like a single.
It looked like a Lucy to me.
It looked like a single. I don't know where he got a single Black and Mild.
Oh, you can get them everywhere.
I'm just saying, the Sharpie. I didn't know he knew where to get it.
You ain't even got to finish this. He shouldn't have done that. Yeah, let's just say he shouldn't have done that. That's tacky. But
he was on them Miles and that yak. First it was that yak.
Yak.
And then it was that Hendo.
I don't know too many black people that call it yak. But anyway, I'm just saying. I mean,
when I was 19, somebody called it yak. I'm 36. Man, he's older than me. There's a certain level.
You're making me spill my yak.
I think some things need to be kept in the culture. Yeah. So... If that's where this is going, you know, you can't expose everything. You know, I was just having that conversation not long ago, man. You can't expose every single thing we talk about, we do, and put it out in just American public, American society, and think you're going to get the same acceptance.
Why not? Because we're Americans. We are Americans. I mean, come on now. Billy, the thing is, white people, let's be honest, have stolen... almost everything, our style, our speech, our mannerisms, and made it their own. And then they say, you know, hey, we marketed it this way. Here, go buy it now. Go buy it from us now. They've taken our culture and marketed it and made profit on it. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't even care. But at the same time, this is what it is. We both know this. We both know this. We started wearing polos before they did.
Yeah.
All right? We started wearing Tim's before they started wearing them. Made it a style. We started wearing certain jeans, and the way we wear our jeans, we made it that way before they did. Now you got white rappers. All right? Okay, I respect Eminem, okay? I'm going to just say that right now.
But white rappers been around since 84, man. Beastie Boys.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
So, I mean, I hear what
you're
saying.
But rap been around since 78.
No, I hear what you're saying, man.
That's all I really want,
girl. I completely understand all that. I'm just saying not everything that's within our culture needs to be put out in the forefront, you know. I don't want to have to explain, you know, Chief Keef 300 to you know, the suburbs.
Because I sometimes get concerned with, you know, like, we don't want to be seen a certain way, or we don't want people to be afraid of us, but then we broadcast these continuous images of us being a certain way.
Well, I think even within our society, you know, if you want to close up our society and just make it us, I don't think we, you know, we ain't proud of some of the stuff that's within that society ourselves. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't want to bring that to the forefront. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying the Hen Dog and Lucy, you know, the Black and Mild is a negative thing. I just wouldn't have brought that out to the forefront, you know?
All right, we're going to pause this right here, and we'll see you next episode. Be the light. Peace.